our second month of our restoration ministry for 2004-2005. I wanted to start by sharing with you from the book of Romans, verse 8, because this is why we hold up our Bible and make our confession of faith. It's taken from Romans chapter 10, verse 8, and it says, "The word is near you. It's to be in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach." So that's why we make what we call confessions of faith. That's why we say what the word and who Jesus is to us. And as Father Dale mentioned at the beginning, at the outset of our praise and worship time, you know, as we say it, as we confess it, it's written again and again on our hearts, and it comes and it's written in our minds. So with that, we're going to hold up our Bibles, like we always do, and we're going to make our confession of faith, which makes us ready to hear the word of God as we say, "This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am who it says I am.
I am who it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
And I can do what it says I can do.
And I can do what it says I can do.
Today I will be taught the word of God.
Today I will be taught the word of God.
I boldly confess.
I boldly confess.
My mind is open.
My mind is open.
My heart is alert.
My heart is alert.
To receive the indestructible.
To receive the indestructible.
Incorruptible.
Incorruptible.
Everlasting.
Everlasting.
Ever-living.
Ever-living.
Seed.
Seed.
Of the word of God.
Of the word of God.
It will touch my heart.
It will touch my heart.
And it will change me.
And it will change me.
I will never be the same.
I will never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Never, never, never.
Never, never.
Amen and amen. Isn't that fun? And the truth. All right. We are on page 10 of our outlines from last week. From last month, I should say. The bottom of page 10 that says, Addendum 2, the Bible and personal growth.
That's from page 14.
Mine says 10. And the next one is 11.
Read the Bible.
According to mine.
Number one, say read the Bible.
Yes, but if yours is a different number, doesn't matter what number, just so we're on the Bible and personal growth. Okay. Now you see where it says the Bible and personal growth, read the Bible?
Yes.
Now this is one way of taking a verse that particularly speaks to your heart, of taking a verse that maybe you're praying for something and you have people interceding for you or ministering to you, and they may give you a certain scripture to take with you from your time of ministry. This is, you're at Mass and you hear a particular scripture and you think it really applies. It becomes what we talked about, that Rhema word, which is the personal word of the Lord to you. Remember, the Logos word, which is the word of scripture, can become what's called the Rhema word for you. The Rhema word is that personal word that the Lord speaks to you regarding a situation on this day, in this time, and in this place. So we're just going to go through ways that we can do that. And what I did, I prayed about this, and I picked this scripture, just kind of kept coming back to me, and I know many of you are familiar with this scripture. And many of you are becoming familiar with it as we talk a lot about the healing presence and the healing Jesus that many of us have come to know. So we're going to look at Psalm 107, verse 20. Now, some of us have different translations, but don't worry about that. It's all the Word of God. It may be a little bit different, but it brings to us the very same message, irregardless of what biblical translation you may be reading from. Psalm 107, verse 20. Yes. Your Bible only goes up to. Okay, we'll take a look at that afterwards, and if you want to just share with someone else, you know, in the scriptures, but you can still get the gist of the teaching. Is everybody with us then? Psalm 107. And I will be reading the verse again and again, so if you don't have it or you don't have your Bible with you, then this would be an easy one to just jot down, because I chose something that was short and to the point that would make it, you know, more simple for us as we're doing this for the first time. Okay, so the scripture says this. It says, He, meaning Jesus, sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That is Psalm 107, verse 20. He, and the he is the capital he of Jesus Christ, sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? All their destructions. So what we do is we come to that scripture. And a good thing to do is to underline. What I do is underline that complete verse. So that every time I'm flipping through the Bible, it's good to do it with a highlighter if you have one of those yellow or any color highlighters. But I like to highlight the whole thing, so as I'm flipping through, my eye catches that and I'm always going back to this particular scripture that I feel like the Lord's given me. So, if you don't have a highlighter, you can circle it with your pen. Don't be afraid to use your Bible as something that, you know, that you write in, that you make notes in. That's what it's for. It's not to be kept in perfect, you know, order like when you first bought it, and the pages are all stuck together and nothing's written in it. It's meant to be used. You know, it's your map through life. Look at it that way. It's like when you have a map, you're going to a different state or whatever, or you're traveling, and you get a map. And you know, you highlight that map and you see what road you're going to take, or you might make a little note on the side of that map. Look at the Bible as your map that's going to guide you through life. And so it's okay to write in your Bible. It's okay to make little notes. It's okay to say, boy, the first time this word really made a difference to me, you know, was October the 2nd, 2004. So it's okay to put 10/2/04. And then you'll always remember, I heard this word in my heart for the first time. You know, and years from now, you'll go back to that and remember that. And then the blessing of that will be brought back to you. There's wonderful things that you can do. If a certain word really jumps out at you, circle that word. You know, highlight the whole thing and circle that particular word that speaks to your heart. You will, as I say, you want to use this as if it were your map. This is something you're going to write in. This is something you're going to circle words. You're going to highlight, because that's how we learn about Jesus as the Word made flesh to us. So, in our outline it says, read slowly and several times. And that is because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. It doesn't come from hearing once. Our faith, meaning we're believing those things we haven't yet seen. That's what we're talking about. That's what the Bible talks about as faith. It's not talking about a certain denominational faith. It's talking about that faith that Scripture tells us is believing those things we have not yet seen. That is the God kind of faith. Believing it's going to happen, even though I don't see it and I'm not feeling it yet, or I don't have it in my hands. But why do I believe it? Because God says so. Because he says it in his word. And so that's the faith that we're talking about. So then it comes to us by hearing and hearing it. So the more you hear a particular word from the Lord, the more your faith or your belief that it can happen. And not only can just happen out there, not only can God do it, but that he will do it for you. That's where we cross the line. Many of us know, yes, God can do that. Yes, Jesus can do that. But we've never experienced him doing it for us, and we may not really believe that he will. We may say he can, and we know he can, but we're not so sure that he will. And so the faith, the biblical faith, believing in those things not yet seen, moves us from knowing that he can to knowing that he will, and he will for you, and he will for me. because he loves us, because we're his sons and daughters, because he died for us, because he's carved our names in the palm of his hand, because as we heard through the scripture in Hebrews this morning, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life with the blood of Jesus Christ, and nothing can erase that. Nothing can erase that. Nothing you do or that happens to you can erase that. Because when we fall, and we will, we turn and can go back to him. We repent. Bible tells us in 1 John that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So when we do fall, we confess our sin to him, he cleanses us, he forgives us, and our name is just as clearly written in that Lamb's Book of Life as if we never sinned. Because that's what justification means. Scripture tells us that we're justified through the blood of Jesus, through his death on the cross, and justification means just as if we never sinned. And I think that's really important for us to remember. So why do we say it over and over again? We say it again and again because as we say it over and over again, our faith is built up. So we take this scripture. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now what I do with this, and I don't think that's necessarily here in this outline, but what I like to do with this is I say, because I know this word is spoken to me. It's a personal word to me. If I were the only person, Jesus would have spoken this word to me. If you were the only person, he would have spoken it to you. So what I do with it, because I need it to be personal for me, I say, he sent forth his word and healed me and delivered me of all my destructions. For me, that's different. It's not the nameless them out there, although I know that word is for everyone, but I think to make it personal is important, and that's another step in faith, that he sent forth his word and healed me and delivered me of all my destructions. So you take that word and you bring it to yourself. You confess, put it in your heart, confess it on your lips in that way. He sent forth his word and healed me and delivered me of all my destructions. So when you say it that way, what happens, I'm sure, to you as it does to me, is all those times that Jesus did that he brought forth his word and healed me, come back to my mind. All of those times when I was afraid and I needed his word of comfort, or all of those times that I had a bad report from the doctor and I needed that reassurance, that it comes back to me. And sometimes what I do, like with this particular scripture, I'll put thank you Jesus, and I'll put the times that I remember, just maybe one word, little one word, you know, descriptions that I'm the only person that would know what it meant, but it means all the world to me, and I remember it then, you know, when I look at that scripture. I remember what's coming to my mind right now. I remember 17 years ago when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and Herb and I were going to the hospital at GBMC to go through these various tests that they give you when you're first diagnosed, you know, and they want to check every part of your body, and they do a bone scan, and they do all kinds of scans and so forth. And this one morning, I was really feeling uneasy about it, and people that had prayed with me had brought to me the word of God. And one of the words was from Psalm 91, and it says, though 1,000 may fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left, near you it will not come. And I would take these scriptures, and that was one of many, to these appointments. And I remember seeing this lady come in, and she was obviously in her last stages of some type of cancer. It was very clear by how she was brought in, by you know, her appearance, by she was holding something because she was getting sick, you know, and it was, it just, I looked at that, and I'm the type of person that those kinds of pictures or visions kind of stick with me and keep coming back to my mind. And I saw her, and a fear rose up in my heart. And I remember opening my little book that people who loved me gave me these scriptures. And that book keeps getting more filled and filled with each season of my life. And I looked down, and what I looked at was, though 1,000 may fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left, near you it will not come. And what that said to me was, I was surrounded by people who were dying of cancer. And that was obvious to me that they were. And the place I was in said that was correct too. And that created fear within me. But when I saw that word, I looked around and thought, what it said to me was, even though you're surrounded by people, you know, who may not get well, that's not going to happen to you. Near you it will not come. Near you death will not come. And that made all the difference in the world to me. You know, and that enabled me then to get my eyes off of myself, you know, and say, thank you, Jesus, for your word, and then to pray for those other folks, you know, who were coming in there. And do you know, I can still see this one lady in particular. That was 17 years ago, and I still have a clear picture of her, you know, in my mind. And oftentimes when that comes back to me, or when I minister to somebody, particularly with breast cancer, or when I hear about it, because right after that, I did some ministry through Reach to Recovery, through the American Cancer Society, for women who were experiencing that same thing, and was able to go beyond American Cancer Society and bring the Lord's Word to them. Because nobody can tell you what to do when you're one-on-one with a person. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, it just made all the difference in the world, got rid of the fear, and I was able to bring that word to many women, you know, down the line. So that's what it does for you. You know, that's just one example that I hadn't planned on sharing with you, but as we're talking about this word, that came back to me, of how the word can make a difference. So the meditation, we might ask ourselves in the outline, how is Jesus revealed through this? So how is Jesus revealed through? He sent forth his word and healed me. Why don't we say that together? And let's say it personally. He sent forth his word and healed me and delivered me of all my destructions. Now, this healing then that we're talking about is not just physical healing. You know, it's all of our destructions. So it could be physical healing. It could be emotional healing. Healing of past hurts. Healing of past memories. It could be a relational situation, maybe with a spouse or with a child or with a sibling that you're going through. Whatever that destruction is, it could be a relational problem with a grown child, son or daughter, that brings destruction to us. And destruction can take on many forms. Destruction can mean a form of depression, a form of sadness, a form of despair. You know, destruction can take on many, many, many forms. And so what this is saying is that he sends forth his word, to heal us and deliver us from whatever the destruction may be, whether it be in our bodies, whether it be in our mind, whether it be in our spirits, whether it be in our relationship. So how is Jesus revealed? Through this scripture of Psalm 107:20, he sent forth his word. So he is the Jesus who brings forth his word. What it says to me is, he's not a silent God. He is a God who speaks to his people, who speaks to his sons and his daughters. When we come to him, when we call out to him, and to call out means to speak, cry out loudly, like we did today through our praise and worship, you know, to say, like if you're in your house and you really need the help of someone that you live with, you're not going to just sit there and say, Herb, I need you. Herb, come here. You're going to yell out, Herb, I need you now. Come on, I'm downstairs. You know, that kind of thing. You're going to bring some energy to it. You're going to want him to know or her to know that you need them and that they can hear you. And so that's what the crying out all through the Psalms and all is talking about. That he sends, when we call to him, he sends his word. He is that word. The word that he sends gives us a description of who he is. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the word made flesh. So he is that word. So when he brings forth his word, he sent forth his word and healed us. He sends forth his word to heal me. That means I can say, well, Jesus is not only silent, but he sends me something, which is his word. So he's going to talk to me. He's going to communicate to me. And he is a healer. He is a healer. We know that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us, the God who takes our bitter experiences, whatever your destruction may be, he takes our bitter experiences and he makes them sweet. So So he's a God who turns it around. He's a God who can change all things for us. He's a God who takes the destructions in our life and works them out for our good. I'm sure many of you could give witness, a testimony, to how he's done that in your life. How there's been something to come into your life, you know, that you think in the moment is the worst thing that could happen, but how he turns it around and works it out for good. Does he always take it away? No, he doesn't always take it away, but he works it out for good. He gives you a way of dealing with it, a way of moving through it, a way of living with it, and he works it out for good. Isn't that wonderful? So, how is Jesus revealed through the scripture of 107, Psalm 107:20? That he's not silent, that he's a God who speaks to us. We speak to him through our praise and worship, our prayer. He speaks back to us. He wants us to know him. He wants to talk to us. He wants to tell us how much he loves us. He wants to tell us how he wants to give us power in our lives. And then we speak back to him. I couldn't help but notice this morning in our praise and worship when Father Dale said, sing this song to him. When you deserve the glory, you deserve the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I lift your holy name. That is singing a love song to Jesus. That is singing to him who we know him to be and who he is. And you know what? There's a part of that that I just really, I love it so much. It really tickles my heart. When on the CD, Terry McAlmum, who does the song on the CD, said, he just loves this song. Let's sing it to him again. And I just think that's so neat. Just so neat. And just, it conveys just that such a personal relationship and such a personal knowing, you know, of child to father, of child to Jesus. I think that's really wonderful. So anyway, that's what we do. We're singing that. And that's what makes those songs. I think they're just so anointed. And I think that's why the anointing comes down, like the songs that Father Dale was doing today, on us and fills this room. Because we're not just singing about Jesus, we're singing to him. We're singing those words of love, and those words of care, and those words of expectation, you know, and those words of joy. And I think that's why we come away feeling so happy, and feeling so joyous, and feeling like we don't want this to end. You know, we want this to continue, because we were created to praise him. And when we do that, we are totally filled and fulfilled, aren't we? I mean, there isn't anything better to do, you know, this side of heaven than to praise Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So then what we do is it reveals to us that Jesus is the Word, that he speaks to his people. He speaks to his children. And you might say, well, gee, I don't hear him speaking to me. But you know what? That's a skill that we develop. And we're going to be developing that as we go through, you know, these months of coming together. None of us really are born knowing how to hear the voice of God, but it's something that it's a skill that we cultivate, that we practice, and you'd be surprised that once you do that and you open yourself to that expectation that when you say something, you're going to hear him back, and the many ways that he does that, that you will be hearing him, because he wants us to hear him, and he has no favorites. So he doesn't allow one person over here to hear him and not another person over here. And there's many ways that that happens. Is it an audible voice? Usually not. Some people claim that they have heard an audible voice. You know, most people have it, and it doesn't come that way, but it comes through bringing back to mind the Lord's Word. That's why it's so important to be into his Word each day. It comes by him bringing back to mind maybe something you heard in a teaching, or something you heard in a homily. It comes through something that maybe somebody that prayed with you or prayed over you said to you. It comes through maybe a scripture that someone gave you, and that comes back to mind. And then in faith we know that's God bringing that back to my mind. That's him speaking to me. So just through, again, getting back to our Psalm 107:20, what did we learn just through that first phrase? That he sends forth his word. So he speaks to us, he's not silent. He sends forth a word to us, meaning he's going to speak to us. We also know that he is the Word made flesh. So when the Word comes, he comes. And when he comes, the Word comes. And I would encourage you, you know, most of us here are Catholic, And we go and receive Jesus in the Eucharist. We believe that we are receiving the living body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So that means he's here. That means he's here. So shouldn't we hear him? Because when he's here, his word is here. When his word is here, he's here. So when you come back from receiving, when you come from the altar, when you come from, you know, from receiving him, and we have that minute, those few minutes of quiet, expect him to talk to you. Lord, here I am. Here I am. Write your word in my heart. What do you want to tell me today? What do you want to say to me today? And listen to what comes to your mind. And I think as you do that, you're going to, again, find another way and another enrichment of what the Eucharist can bring to us by, you know, by hearing his word. I know for a long time, I grew up and was always encouraged that that's the time that you ask the Lord for what you want. You know, after you come back from communion, that was the time to say, okay, Jesus, you know, I need to do this and this and this and this, or bless this person and that person. And that's not wrong, and that's not a bad thing by any means, but that's what I always did. When I came to know Jesus as a God who would really speak to me, and I never had known that before, I found that out when I was 35 years old, I never knew it before, that, and was encouraged to do what I just exhorted you guys to do, what I found was that rather than bring him my burdens at that time, he was bringing me his word that enabled me to deal with whatever it was I was going to bring him. You know what I'm saying? That whatever those situations were that I was going to bring to him and intercede for, through what he brought to me, just a sense of his presence, a sense of his word, then I went away knowing that I could handle it, knowing I could deal with it, and knowing the kind of love and acceptance I needed to bring to the people in my life. So I just encourage you to do it and just see what the Lord has to say to you. What is asked of me, it says in our outline, what is asked of me through the scripture? He sent forth his word and healed me and delivered me of all my destructions. What is asked of me is faith. Believing in those things that I have not yet seen, believing in those things that I have not yet done. That's what's asked of me. If I bring no faith to this, believing that it can happen, then the word will have no place. The word will have no strength. The word will have no power in my life. So what's asked of me is faith. How do I apply it? How do I apply it to my life? Because all the Lord's word, we need to bring practical application, or it's as if we don't have it. So how do I apply it? I'm going through a situation, whether it be physical, emotional, whether it be relational. Lord, I know you're going to send me a word, and you're going to heal me of my sadness, or you're going to heal me of my depression, or you're going to heal me, you know, of my pain, because you promised to do so. So that's how you apply it to whatever your personal situation is. That's the application. Scripture tells us to hide the word in our hearts. So what I find really helpful is to try to commit it to memory. I don't think there's anyone here among us who could not memorize, he sent forth his word and healed me and delivered me of all my destructions. So what happens then, if say each morning in your prayer time or whenever your prayer time is, you confess that word, you say that word. Write it on a little sticky and put it on your mirror. Before you brush your teeth every morning, you're going to see it. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it, on the dashboard of your car, so you, when you go to get in your car. And every time you see it, you're going to say it. And what's going to happen is, then you're going to remember it. And then what happens is that when you're in the midst of the situation, or when the pain comes upon your body, or when you're with that person that you're having difficulty with, or when you're feeling down and you can't seem to have any joy, that word is going to pop up into your mind. The Lord will bring it back because it has been written upon your heart. You've hidden it in your heart. And that word will come back, and then you say, okay, Lord, you're telling me that you're going to speak to me. You're telling me that you're going to deliver me. Delivering means to rid you of it, to free you of it. That's what it means, of whatever that destruction is. So that's what happens when we bring it to mind. Also, when we bring scriptures, when we commit scriptures to memory, such as this, You know, and if you can't remember the whole thing, start with whatever's manageable for you. If he sent forth his word and healed me, is all you can remember for the first 2 weeks, that's fine. That's fine. Do what's manageable. Then you keep saying that. And then once you have that in your heart, then take the next. And delivered me from all my destructions. And then after that, you put them both together. The Lord doesn't want you burdened by it. He doesn't want you to feel inadequate. He wants it to be manageable for you. So whatever that looks like, and it might look different for a number of us, that's what you do. And what happens then, when you remember that scripture, when we're in the midst of praise and worship, like this morning, and Father Dale says, okay, tell the Lord how much you love him, and speak your words of praise to the Lord. Those scriptures that you've committed to memory come back to you. So in the midst of that, so you say, Lord, I just thank you that you sent forth your word to heal me and delivered me of all my destructions. See, you bring forth that word in your praise. And as you build up those words in your heart, those are the things that you bring back to the Lord, you know, in the midst of praise and worship.